Welcome to this period of Bible study. My name is Garland Robinson. When one obeys the gospel, the job is not finished. The work is not over. It takes effort. It takes continual process of growing and disciplining our lives that we might be as God would have us to be. Baptism, when we die to the old world, we're buried. The Bible speaks of it as a new birth. When Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 5, you must be born again, born of water and of the Spirit. When we are buried in baptism, we're raised up to walk a newness of life. There we contact the blood that Jesus shed in His death when we die to sin. And all of that is washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, which He shed on Calvary's cross. And so when we're raised up, we're not the same person. The old has passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are a new creature in Christ. And now we need to act like it. Need to live like it. Daily Christian living. That's what God would command and have us to do. That involves living a righteous life, a godly life, each and every day, because we've been washed, we've been sanctified, we've been justified from our sins, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. We've got to have the right attitude, not only toward God, but toward our brethren in the Lord, and even all men also. You know what Jesus taught? Jesus showed the kind of love that we need to exhibit in our lives. When He was hanging on the cross, He was willing to extend forgiveness to the very ones that put Him there. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, we read that He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There was an opportunity that He shed His blood even for them. He didn't curse them that hung Him on the cross. He didn't say, I hate you and I'm going to punish you. But He, in compassion, was willing to extend forgiveness by saying that when they would obey the gospel, if they would turn from their wickedness, then forgive them, for they know not what they do. We've got to have that correct attitude toward God, toward our brethren, toward all men, and even our enemies. We've got to be concerned every day that we live about our influence. You know, one's example, one's influence is tremendous. It extends and reaches far beyond what we often believe that it does. But as a Christian, we need to recognize, understand, and know that men watch us. They may not be looking with binoculars. They may not be looking in every detail. Some may do that, but for the most part, men don't. But yet, consciously, they recognize that if we are a Christian, we are a member of the church, they observe our life, and they look and see how we live, how we act, what we say, what we do. They look at our attitude and our disposition regarding things. And the Lord knows that, and that's as it should be. And then consequently, He tells us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, when He said, Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. The salt. Salt, we recognize, is a preserving agent. It's also a cleansing agent. When we find, I remember growing up, used to kill hogs and have the old smokehouse and a big box there full of salt. You'd salt the meat down in order to cure it, in order to preserve it, and that salt would permeate all throughout the meat and prevent it from spoiling. It was a great agent. But when the Lord says that salt has lost its taste, its saltness, its savor, it's no longer worth anything. You throw it out, you might put it in the pathway where you walk because it's going to kill the grass or whatever you put it on, and it's good for nothing. And so you just throw it out and men trodden it underfoot. So what's the analogy? What's the point? That we, as the Lord's people, as Christians, we are as salt. We are to permeate society. That is, we are to infiltrate in every place we go. We so live and influence society that they might see what is good, what is right. They might recognize here is a follower of God, here is a child of the Lord, that we would have the right influence, the right example before each and every one. We're the salt of the earth. You know, there is no salt except for the Christian that lives in this world. And then the Lord said in Matthew chapter 5, the next verse, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. What's he telling us? As a Christian, we are a light, a beacon, a city that's set on a hill. That is, when you light a candle or turn on a light, said you don't hide it, you don't cover it up, you don't put it down in the valley, in the bottom. The very purpose for which you light a light is that it would illuminate that which is around it, that we might be able to see. And he said, that's what a Christian is. That's what a Christian does. We're a light that is set on a hill. What does he tell us in verse 16 then of Matthew 5? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Notice the phraseology here again. Let your light so shine. Now, the Lord didn't say shine your light. There's a difference. Shining your light has to do with the idea of showing off, calling attention to yourself, wanting to receive glory and pride in your life for your accomplishments, for what you have done. But the Lord said, we're not a show. We're not one to brag and boast about what we've done and feel pride and arrogance in all of those areas and respect. He says, we don't do that. We simply live a faithful Christian life. We do our work. We do it with the right influence, with the right example. We have the right attitude about it. And when we do, he said, our light will shine. We don't have to make an effort for others to observe it and to see it and to make sure they don't miss it. But rather, we just do our business and living a quiet and humble and peaceful life. And he said, that'll be noticed. Let your light shine before men. And what'll happen? They'll see our good works. We don't have to show it to them. We don't have to call attention to it and make sure they see it and to pat us on the back. But rather, they'll see our good works. And they'll bring glory to the Father which is in heaven. Not that we want glory, desire glory, demand glory. It's not us. It's the Lord that desires that we bring Him glory. We've got to be concerned about everything we do and refuse to do that which is evil, because it's a reflection upon Christ. It's a reflection upon the Lord's church. When we live our life and people know that we are Christians and claim to be members of the Lord's church, and they see our attitude, our foul mouth, they see the way we undress in public, they see the places we go, that influences them. And they say, they're a member of the church? They live like that? And so people want nothing to do with it. It's a reflection upon the Lord and upon His precious church. Why then would we desire that? Why not clean up our lives? Why not be aware of our influence of living for the Master every day that we should? You know why? Because everything around us in all the world, 1 John 5 and verse 19 says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. There's corruption and fraud and wicked things all over around us. And we are the only light this world has. We as the Lord's people are the salt of the earth. We've got to be extra careful of our influence so that we would not bring reproach upon the cause of Christ, upon His church, and upon His precious name. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, we read, give no offense, that is, give no occasion of stumbling, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things. Now notice what Paul said, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul said, I don't want the glory. I don't want the credit. It's not that I may profit in this process, but that others may prosper, that they may be influenced and brought about to the good and perfect example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just a few verses later, in verse 1, be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, Paul was not the example to follow in himself, but only that he followed Christ. He said, follow me, be an imitator of me, but only in that I follow Christ. So we can be influenced by one another. We can see good men, good women, godly people around us living their life, a Christian life, day by day, and use them as a good example, a proper influence, that we might so follow the pattern they've given us, as we compare it and see it and know it from the will of God. We need to be concerned about our thoughts, friend. Not only the words we speak, but even the things we think. Now, you don't know what I'm thinking unless I tell you. I don't know what you're thinking unless you tell me. But the Lord knows. He knows even our thoughts. And we need to harness our thoughts. We need to hold them in check. We need to make sure that even the things we think are pure and holy and righteous. In Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 23, we read, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What's he telling us? Keep our heart. Well, how do we keep our heart? He's not talking about our blood pump, that muscle of flesh in our chest. He's talking about our personality, our very thinking, our very characteristic of our life, that which makes us who we are, our mind, our intellect. He says, keep that. Keep it in check. Guard it. Make sure that it is done right. Why? Because there's where we conduct ourselves. The things that our hands do are directed from our intellect, our personality, our soul. The places our feet take us, again, is directed to how we think in our heart. And the things that we mull around and meditate upon and study about in our minds, in our thoughts, find their way into our lives, the actions in which we partake. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, we read, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As we think in our heart, that's the way we are. You find someone that's always studying about cheating and lying and fraud and embezzlement. You find someone that's full of greed and seeking to get ahead and want more and more. That's going to come out in their life. That's what they think about. That's all they study about. That's all they're concerned with. And that's the kind of life they're going to live. It just has to be, has to work that way. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. It's just the way it works, friend. Don't think wicked or evil thoughts. Think pure thoughts. You have a wicked thought, brush it away. Think on good things. Replace it with something that is righteous and godly. That's the way the Lord wants us to do and to live every single day. This has been Garland Robinson. Join us again.